And then there's the practices of giving and taking, wishing for the benefit of others over ourselves. And this includes the four boundless qualities. This is to treat all beings with equanimity, and that equanimity is not with indifference. It includes that boundless kindness, the boundless joy, and the boundless compassion. As Padmasambhavi said, what we want, others want as well. So really foster this mindset, the wish for others to be happy and to benefit others. This is true for all of us. We all want to be happy, and none of us wants to suffer. And in this way, we're all the same. Apply those teachings that we had with respect to the 7 points of cause and effect, where all sentient beings over countless lifetimes have been our mothers. And as being our mothers, at some stage, they showed us great kindness. And how can we repay that kindness? We can repay it with respect and with gratitude at least. And in that time as well, there's a good chance that they've also been our enemies. In our lifetime, how many people who have been friends have become enemies, and vice versa, how many of our enemies have become friends? And that's just in this lifetime, needless to say, countless lifetimes. And the difference between a friend and an enemy can just be a moment. It can be just a thought, and a sudden thought arises, and suddenly somebody that we didn't like, we start to like, or we even like, or we appreciate. We've experienced so much suffering in samsara. A lot of it has been involved with other sentient beings, maybe loss of love, being defeated, being cheated, deceived. It could be anything. It could be lack of achieving expectations or people living up to expectations. We've experienced all kinds of different suffering in samsara over countless lives. And what has been the main cause of this? Has it really been the external environment and everybody else? Or has it been as a result of our ignorance and our self-grasping? When we really investigate, we see so much of the suffering we experience has been as a result of our own state of mind and as a result of cause and effect. However, through the practices, we now see that we can transform this state of mind of ours. So often, for many things, we have stress, we have anxiety, worry. And as Shantideva says, if there is something that you can't change, why worry? And if there is something that you can change, go and change it, work diligently at changing it, why worry? Why is it so often that we don't help sentient beings or others? Is because of our self-cherishing. Why do we say that as a result of our self-cherishing? Is because maybe sometimes we fear inconvenience, or we have fear that something might happen to us. Maybe something physical will happen to us that'll hurt us, or maybe something mental will happen which causes us discomfort or unhappiness. And so as a result, we don't help others. That fear has come about because of our own self-cherishing, our own self-grasping. We don't want inconvenience or discomfort for ourselves. And as a result, we don't help others. Think about it. You think, if I go help that person, are they going to cheat me? Are they going to deceive me? Maybe they're going to hurt me. How often have you noticed you might see somebody that needs help or somebody in distress, and your first impulse is to go and help them? But then a few seconds later, your mind starts to work. Oh, what if this happens? What if that happens? Or I might not have the time. It's going to inconvenience me. How much effort is this going to take? And so these discriminatory thoughts arise. And then at the end of the day, we possibly end up not going to help other people. Of course, in helping other people, it is good to keep one's wits about oneself. There are people that take advantage of other people's kindness. This self-cherishing, the self-grasping, has really been the cause of our suffering, the most part of it. Because of the self-grasping, we engage in the 10 negative. actions. We think that it's going to bring us happiness. Maybe it brings us some temporary happiness, but then suffering follows. As Shantideva said, the source of all suffering, disasters, and fear is the attachment to the self, which never truly existed. Sentient beings have strong attachment to self, which produces greed, hatred, and ignorance, the three poisons from which unlimited negative karma arises. The result of this negative karma is pain, suffering, disasters, and fear. We have this notion and we believe in ourselves as being independent, permanent, and self-existent. And this is not really the reality. The reality is we are interdependent. And if we really investigate, if we continue our practices, we investigate the self-grasping. How does it really exist? And we see that it doesn't exist. We find through our practices, it doesn't exist the way we used to perceive it exists. And as long as one has a strong sense of attachment or self-grasping and this belief in one being independent, permanent, and self-existent, all sorts of afflictions arise. Attachment, pride, jealousy, anger arises, which hurts ourselves and hurts others. And when these emotions arise, it's we ourselves that suffer first. And then the other people suffer. Just like if we pick up a hot coal to burn somebody else, we first burn our own hand. When we feel angry or upset or jealous, our mind, our sense of happiness is the first to be affected. And gradually, through the practice of renunciation, the practices of bodhicitta, tonglen, treating others as more important than ourselves, and the practices of wisdom emptiness, we slowly diminish this self-grasping and self-cherishing. And gradually start treating all circumstances equally and all sentient beings equally with that great love and kindness and compassion and with great joy. And every circumstance, no matter what hardships arise, that they are the opportunity to practice. So we can also transform hardships onto the path as part of the path. There can be something to learn, or if we're experiencing great suffering, instead of being all upset, what we can do is transform our mindset and think, the suffering that I'm experiencing, through the suffering, I wish to take on the suffering of all sentient beings that are experiencing the suffering. May all the suffering rather ripen on me rather than on others, and transform the suffering into a practice. When you see other people are suffering, put yourself in their shoes. Think about what is really ailing them. If I was in their position, how much would I want to be free from this problem? How much would I want to be free from this mental anguish, free from this mental suffering or this physical suffering? And in this case, understand their suffering and see what can we really do to help them, to relieve them of these troubles that they're experiencing or the suffering that they're experiencing. And for the time being, if we're not able to help them, then we can still really truly wish for them to be free from these sufferings. And one of the greatest ways to help other people is to really help them to realize that they can transform their afflictive emotions and really change their mindset. And in this way, their life really can be transformed. Also consider the suffering of all the beings in the three realms, in the three lower realms, in the hell realms, the hungry ghost realms, the animal realms. Their suffering is much greater than ours. If anybody first should be freed from all of their suffering, one would think it should be them. We consider our suffering to be so serious and so difficult. However, if we really compare our lives to that of others in the other realms, or even just other sentient beings, other human beings, if you think of the problems of other human beings, really, many of our problems are not so important at all. We might be worrying about things at work, a few financial aspects or problems, maybe some problems in our relationship. When you look at the suffering of others, some people may be starving. They may be experiencing great, great suffering. So in comparison, our suffering really, is it so great? Quite often, due to our own self-grasping, we are lost in our own suffering that we don't notice the suffering of others. Gradually, through these practices of renunciation, bodhicitta, and wisdom emptiness, we can reduce the self-grasping. One of those practices is the practice of Tonglen. And then through these practices of Tonglen, this narrow mind of ours becomes more and more vast and more open. The joys and pleasures we experience from the material world and material concerns are temporary. They've come about because of cause and effect, and so they'll arise and they'll subside as soon as that particular merit has been expended. What we're investing more is attaining long-term happiness, in attaining enlightenment. And more through these practices, our negativities, our suffering will decrease and our happiness will increase. And how will this help inspire others? Is that when others see our transformation, they may be inspired as well to make a similar transformation. To embark on these practices and engage in actions of positive cause and effect, realize wisdom, emptiness, and practice bodhicitta. And as a result, gradually reducing their suffering and finally freeing themselves from the suffering of the cycle of samsara. And this practice takes time. This is the word gom, meditation in Tibetan, which means transforming, getting used to, getting accustomed to these practices. Gradually getting accustomed to these practices, transformation will start to happen. Until you get to the stage in your practice where every breath that you are taking could be practice. Naturally, what is so important is that we maintain mindfulness and awareness. Why do we sometimes forget to practice or get distracted? Is because we have lost our mindfulness and awareness. What thoughts are naturally arising within ourselves and which ones are normally arising? Are these often thoughts of wishing to benefit others, or are our habits to think about negative things, problems, feeling rejected or cheated? To be able to transform those negative thoughts, it's very important that we maintain mindfulness and awareness. It's like watching for a thief. What might we use is maybe surveillance cameras. What is our surveillance camera for those arising thoughts is our mindfulness and awareness. What is it that has stolen so much of our happiness? The great thief is the self-grasping of ours. However, when we shine the light of wisdom onto this ignorance, then it dissolves the ignorance, just like when you enter into a room that is dark and you put on a light or you light a candle, it illuminates that darkness and the darkness disappears. Likewise as well, by realization of wisdom, all the darkness of wisdom will disappear. Practice according to these methods, practice according to the lineage instructions that you receive from your teachers, and gradually practice and improve. As one master said, this hypocrite who deceived me disguised as myself. All of the suffering that we've experienced as a result of our own negative emotions, and always we're projecting it out and blaming others. Very important in our practices is to maintain our motivation, and the motivation is for the benefit of all sentient beings. In fact, we owe great gratitude to all sentient beings. It's as a result of the sentient beings that we have the opportunity to practice. They've all shown us great kindness in all our lifetimes. In addition, through them, we have the opportunity to practice patience. Who tests our patience the most? Other people. To check our discipline, because of other sentient beings, we might be enticed or coerced or even tempted to enter into negative actions. And they also give us the great opportunity to practice generosity and to improve our wisdom, our kindness, our compassion and joy. Practice more and more until this self-grasping of ours is turned upside down, and what arises in our mind stream is more the wish and the concern for the benefit of others. And then wherever you go, and whatever situation you might find yourself, you have the opportunity to practice. If you look at these great masters, I just think of Rinpoche. When you go and visit him and you meet him, really you feel very comfortable and very happy and most welcome. And you really can feel the benefits of his practice of bodhicitta. And he said that he already started practicing bodhicitta at the age of 6.